The following message is from the audio teaching library of the Briarwood Pulpit, a ministry of the Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Our speaker is Dr. Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. It is our hope and prayer that this message will equip and encourage you in your walk with Christ, and as a result, you will be used by our Lord as an instrument of change to further His kingdom and bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. Here now is our pastor-teacher, Harry Reeder.
If you're able, please remain standing for the reading of God's Word in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, our children can make their way to the children's church to my left. What a wonderful time of worship and time in God's Word. And you can pick them up afterwards. Someone will meet them and they'll be there in the children's worship center. If you'll be there in Matthew 28, go down to verse 16. Say, if you're visiting with us today, I want to add my word to Bruce's. It's great to have you, and ask you to stop and see Cindy and myself at the back. We have a gift for you. But if today you're here and you don't happen to have a Bible with you, we provided one, and they're glad to give you that one, in fact. But if you'll turn to page 835, you'll be right with us in our study of this pivotal text, foundational text, capstone text in the Word of God, what we call the Great Commission. If you're there, Matthew 28, 16. Now, if you'll go with me to Matthew 28 and verse 16. This is God's Word, and God's Word is the truth, inspired, inerrant, and infallible. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed or designated them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The grass withers, the flower fades, God's word abides forever. By His grace and His mercy, may His word be preached for you. Please be seated. So if you're visiting with us today, may I ask you to be very patient today. This is one of those special Sundays every year that I have an appointed responsibility from the elders of this church, that this Sunday is to be used to prepare this congregation, and you are welcome to be a part of this endeavor of world evangelism. This is our Sunday before our Global Missions Conference, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Listen, this is a festival time. You need to set it aside. Come on and be here. It's going to be a lot. It's extraordinarily enjoyable as we take the time to get into God's Word. And we're going to look at, we're going to have Sandy Wilson preaching global glimpses from all of our missionaries that are here Monday through Wednesday. The preaching of God's Word, worship, fellowship, prayer time. And then they'll be around in the small groups and the kind, all of those things that happen. It's just, I love Missions Week. It's a highlight in this church. In fact, we've been doing it for a while now. Absolutely, been doing it a while. This church is, I think, if I'm correct, began in 1960. So if I'm not mistaken, this year is our 58th year of existence as a congregation. And almost every one of those years, we've had a global missions conference. It's not quite 58, but almost 58. And we have had an extraordinarily blessed time doing it. Now, why is it? Now, if I could just go ahead and mention to you, there are three conferences we do every year at Briarwood. One is our National Missions Conference. One is our Global Missions Conference. The other is our conference, Birmingham Conference on Theology and Life. Those are the conferences that we do each year. And I want to mention why we do those, but the oldest of them is the Global Missions Conference. And all three of them are there because what we're trying to do is accomplish a mission at Briarwood. And those conferences have been designated to help us do our mission at this congregation. So that's why we have them. Can I mention a couple of things before I go any further, though? and that's this. Our missions pastor has a deal with the bookstore. He is getting, I think, a 25% kickback on all the books that you buy. That's the only thing I can figure out, because he set aside six for you to read this conference. Six! Man, I'll just go ahead and confess, I'm not going to get all six read. I hope to get all six read, but they got six of them. But being unlike the legalistic missions pastor of our church, I am the pastor of grace and mercy. I am only going to recommend one of those six books to you. But this one, I do want to recommend this to you, and that is The Martyr's Oath. Some of you will remember that in our missions ministry a couple of years ago, noting the rise of persecution and the number of Christians that are being killed for the faith, which, according to many estimates, is now numbering more. The only two times we've had more in the history of the New Testament church is the first century and the 16th century. And that now there is more than ever. And so with Open Doors, we've kind of taken some time to focus on the persecuted church. And and we'll be hearing about it in our missions conference. But you really want to, read this book, The Martyr's Oath. I wanted to mention it to you. And I don't think you've gotten it yet, but you are in for a treat. I have one. I got an inside scoop here. This is the conference pamphlet. It is extraordinary. It's well done. The missionaries that are coming, the bios, the recapitulating what happened through our missions ministry in 2017, the short-term mission trips that we're going on this year, the various things that have happened, the agencies and all of that. This is rich. Really rich. And you are going to have that. And then also there is a kind of a replication of this in a smaller form that's made for prayer, and it fits right in your pocket. You put it in your pocket and you've got it for prayer. Let me give a suggestion. You're going to work, Highway 280. You're bringing the kids to school, Highway 280. We have traffic jams, and we have lights in which the purpose is to test whether you are sanctified or not. And the purpose is to make sure that you don't get over the top at any point in your life. It is, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various stoplights on Highway 280. That's the verse in James chapter 1. And so what I have decided to do is just put this in my pocket. And when that moment comes, I'm going to reach in my pocket and I'm going to start up some prayer. And I'm going to pray till the light turns green, and then I'm ready to go. But it's a great prayer guide that's there for you. You'll also be getting your faith promise, whereby you can indicate your interest in the leadership team, your global missions, faith promise, your gift for that year. And all of that will be brought to bring to the feet of our missionaries. And of course, the flags tell you where we've been, the flag ceremony next Lord's. It is just all so extraordinary, and we look forward. But my assignment on this Sunday every year is to address the missions conference to prepare us in light of the theme that the missions team has adopted for that year. And the theme for this year is until he returns. Now, let me give you a way to think about this. One of my a very interesting passage that I love in the Word of God is Acts 13:36. Don't turn there. I'm just mentioning it to you. But in Acts 13:36, it says Paul in a sermon says this. David, after he had served the purpose of God, fell asleep. After he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers. So how long did David live? Till he served God's purpose. After he had served God's purpose, time to come home. So let me give you a little application. Are you breathing? Now, some of you, it's a little questionable right now. Are you breathing? You're breathing? That means you got a purpose, a divine purpose. God's got you here on purpose. When you're through, he'll bring you home. Same thing's true for the church. When is the end of the age? When the mission's done. And then Jesus comes. So our missions team is absolutely correct to tell us this task we focus on, global world missions, is to be done until he returns. And that's when he returned. Now, many of you want to know, when will Jesus return? And I'm going to tell you in about 20 minutes. I'm going to tell you exactly when he's coming back. But until he comes back, we've got a task. It's called this Great Commission. But as you step into it, what I'd like for you to know is that these conferences and this conference is here because we have a mission as a church. We believe the church, like David, is here for a purpose. What is the purpose of Briarwood Presbyterian Church? Let me share it with you with our mission statement. For God's glory, I feel like I should be able to just call on you and you give this to me by memory. But you probably don't, and I don't want to embarrass you, and this that would be just bad manners on my part. So let me give it to you. For God's glory, Briarwood is, notice this word, committed. It's not the word desire. Committed. This is a commitment. Briarwood is committed to equipping Christians who worship God and reach Birmingham to reach the world for Christ. That's our mission statement. That's our purpose statement. That's why we exist. Every ministry, 100-something ministries at Briarwood, has to fulfill that mission statement. This missions conference, in fact, all of our conferences, those three conferences, why do we have a conference on theology and life? Because we're an equipping church. That's why. Why do we have a national missions conference? Because we're supposed to reach Birmingham, to reach Alabama, to reach North America. Why do we have a global missions conference? Because we're supposed to reach the world for Christ. That's what we're called to do. So we take 3 weeks out of the year to bring focus to those three things and to clarify and instruct and gain the instruction we need for fulfilling our mission. Now, if you have moved to this congregation from other congregations, likely your church had a mission statement. And I would almost bet you a dollar to a hole in a donut. I heard that my whole life growing. I don't know what it means, but I would bet you a dollar to a hole in a donut. Well, wait a minute. I'm a pastor now, so I can't bet. I would act like I'm betting a dollar to a hole in a donut. And what I would do that for is to say that your mission statement in your church, if it's an evangelical church, is probably similar to ours. And here's the reason why. Churches that mean business with the Lord and churches that believe in the inerrancy and the inspired word of God all know that we don't think up our own mission. Our mission is given to us by God. And the reasons our mission statements look so much alike, except for some wordsmithing, is because we're all working off the same passages of Scripture. You just did one of them. Acts 1, 4 through 9. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. All the parallel passages to the Great Commission in Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. It is those passages that this congregation years ago under its leadership distilled into this mission statement. For God's glory, Briarwood is committed to equipping Christians vertically to worship God, horizontally to reach Birmingham, but always do it in order to reach the world for Christ. And that is something that I have so enjoyed benefiting from, encountering when I came here 18 years ago, and hopefully have been used of the Lord to some measure to carry on. And that's this. Whatever God allows us to do here, we want to do it in such a way that we can give it away so it happens somewhere else. I am so glad that campus outreach that started reaching the campus of Sanford was done to give away. So now it's in 7, 8, 9 countries. Couple of almost 200 campuses, because it was done to give away. Young Business Leaders was done to give away. Christian Medical Ministry was done to give away. Right now, Embers to a Flame has been given away to international denominations and to a number of denominations right here in North America. It's always done to give away because we found out something. If you want to live, you got to give. So what we want to do is worship God and reach Birmingham to reach the world for Christ. Now, as soon as I say that, I want y'all to know this. This is our mission. I am not saying we do it perfectly. My goodness. If we did it perfectly, why would we want to have a conference to mess it up this year? We are somewhere 0 to 100% effective. But what we want to do is keep growing in this, and this is why we exist. And it's very important because it's very easy for churches to let good things that are consequential to the mission take over and become the mission. We want to stay focused on mission, on message in every ministry. That's what we want to do. And this conference helps us to stay on mission in terms of global mission. And that's why we have a vision. That's what our mission's what we're committed to do. Our vision is what we desire to be while we do the mission. And that is Briarwood desires to be a Christ-centered, gospel-driven, spirit-filled, equipping church where every member is a minister and every member is a missionary. Every one of you are ministers. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that he gave some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. So you minister worship to God. You minister the gospel to the world, evangelism. You minister love to one another. You minister truth down into your life and in your family's life. You are ministers. Now, some people are gifted and called capital M ministers. And all of you are missionaries if you know Jesus. At one time, you were a mission field. Then God converted you. The day he converted you, he said, now I send you. Now you're a missionary. You are a missionary in your field. But some we might call capital M ministries. They are cross-cultural missionaries to the world. And those are the people we're going to be hearing from and talking about and considering how do we send them out into the world. And that's what the missions conference does. I want to walk you through this great commission, but can I do one more thing that I believe would fulfill what I'm expected to do this week and actually what I deeply desire to do this week? I want you to enjoy this week. I have to confess, I grew up in the Christian Missionary Alliance and we had missions. And even before I was a Christian, I loved missions week. And we don't even get all the stuff. Do y'all know how many slide projectors I saw slides? Y'all remember that? You remember the carousel? You remember the slide? Some of y'all are old enough. I know. Some of you over here, go to the museum. I'll show you where they are in the museum. But it's a slide projector. You'd push the slide in and pull the old one out. And I guarantee it's going to break down. It's going to break down. And then, hold it. We're going to fix it. But we would have those missions. I still remember the adding machine. Adding up the faith promise commitments. I remember all of that, but I loved that week. I loved meeting the missionaries. I loved hearing the missionary. I wasn't even converted yet, and I loved hearing it. And even before I got converted, my dad and mom got me involved in faith promise missions. They challenged me to get involved in faith promise missions. And I wasn't giving it because I loved Jesus. I just gave it because daddy and mama told me to, but I sure learned to give it. And then after I became a Christian, now I got a reason to give it. But I'd already learned it because my parents were teaching me about it. You know, son, I had a paper route. Son, this is your paper route. Here's your tithe. And son, we want you to pray about giving beyond that in faith promise missions. So I learned that early on. Conferences were such a blessing to me, and I want them to be a blessing to you. In fact, there's three blessings I want them to do for you. Let me give those to you and then jump into this text for a few moments. Here's the first thing. As we come into next week, the first thing is this. I want you to understand global missions from the Great Commission and the Word of God. I want you to understand biblically why we do this. Why this is part of our mission to send the gospel to the nations. I want you to understand it. I want you to embrace it. I want you to experience it. I want you to understand it from the Word of God as to why from the Scripture we do missions. Secondly, I want you to hear the reports from our missionaries. I want you to hear those global glimpses. I want you to benefit from them. The missionaries that they give their testimony, I want you to hear them. I want you to benefit, to find out what is the Lord doing. You know, sometimes we get so myopic, and just to hear what the Lord is doing out there is such an encouragement. It is so powerful. Folks, let me just tell you this. In the first century, it said that these people turned the world upside down. He hasn't stopped doing that since. Now, you may not be feeling it here, but it's happening all over. I want you to hear from them. May I add something to this that you do well, and I want you to excel still more? And that's this. We're going to be blessed by hearing from them and their reports. Would you join me in asking God for us to be able to bless those missionaries while they're here? Now, I say that knowing you do that. I just want you, and let's just keep doing it better. A conference does not go by without missionaries saying two things to me. Man, y'all sure work us pretty hard here. We're talking to everybody. I mean, we send them to the school, we send them to here, we send them to small groups, congregation, they're all over everywhere, and they're global, everything, they're involved. Praise the Lord, we want people to hear from them. But you know what else I hear from them? Pastor, the people at this church have been such a blessing to us. We love coming here. And I know that's you with a personal touch. And I want to thank you for doing that. I want you to ask the Lord that during this missions conference, He would use you to bless them whose reports are going to bless you. Number three, the third thing is that you would personally participate. Briarwood as a church is corporately committed to world missions, but that we only can do it if the individual members get personally engaged. That you actually become a partner with this. You actually become a participating partner in the work of evangelism that's going throughout all the world. Now, where would this happen? Would you ask the Lord to do these things in your life personally? Number one, come up with a prayer plan. How will you, in your prayer life, incorporate world missions? How will you do it? Let me give you some suggestions. You may, during this time, did you know we have missionaries on every continent? We have people out there evangelizing, discipling, planting churches, revitalizing churches, teaching, leadership training on every continent. God may lay one of those areas. You may just particularly get a burden. You may get a burden for South America. You may get a burden for Central America. You may get a burden for the Oceania. You may get a burden for Asia. You may get a burden. I don't know what, but wherever He gives you a burden, your prayer plan may be, I'm just going to pray through the missionary list this year. It may be a general prayer plan. It may be a general plus a specific area. You may have been met a couple of key missionaries in this conference that you want to pray for, but that you at the end of the conference will have some kind of a specific prayer plan for next year that you will pray for the work of world missions. This job can't get done without the power of God, and God's power works through the prayers of His people. So let's pray. Individually, let's come up. Maybe your family has a specific prayer plan for missions. Number two, not only that you'll develop a prayer plan, but you will consider short-term missions. Next year, when you get this manual, you know what you're going to find out? Next year, there are 29 short-term mission trips. I would be shocked if one of them would not be perfect for a week of your vacation. Or another week. You would be an extraordinary. Consider one that you can take your whole family. Consider one that you can go on. Consider one that go. Do you know what it means to these missionaries when you're out there and one of our people show up from Briarwood to be with them for 5 days, 7 days, 10 days? And then you do some work physically, and you do some Bible studies, and you do some vacation Bible school, and you do some evangelism. Short-term mission trip. Number three, third thing to pray about is the Global Missions Leadership Team. I thank God for the Global Missions Team underneath our missions pastor that has come together to guide us in world evangelism. And there may be a particular subcommittee that you want to work on for some particular area of the world or some particular function. I don't know. But would you pray about whether the Lord would have you on the Global Missions Team? Number four, would you pray as we go through this week, would you pray as to your calling? Now, I'm going to be very specific. I'm going to look over this direction with our college and our, I don't know why they sit over here. I think they sit over here because they notice most of the people that sit over here have children. And I think that's why they're over there. But I know that's where they sit in this direction. So I would say to them, did you know almost every great missions movement started with students? Almost every one of them. Great Awakening started with 12 students in Oxford. Second Great Awakening started with 5 students out of Williams College. Starts with students. Really pray about it. Is God calling you? Here's your specific prayer request. Is God, I'm not asking you to pray, are you going to be a missionary? You are one. I'm asking you to pray about, is God calling me to be a cross-cultural missionary? Is God gifting me to be a cross? Is he giving me a calling to be a cross-cultural missionary? Listen, if God hadn't called you to do it, don't make it happen. But if he has called you, you think he's calling you, a short-term missions trip is a good way to start finding out. Coming to the leadership team and asking for oversight is a good way. Going to our missions pastor and talking to him is a good way to find out. There are two pools, I think, of cross-cultural missionaries. And some of you are sitting there and saying, I'm glad he's talking to those college students and those college and career guys. Well, all right, button up, because I'm about to talk to you. Particularly those of you who have just signed your retirement papers. You may be called. Did you know that's the second great pool? Because you don't even have to go raise support. You already got it. And then you can go. Maybe God's called you to explore that again, initially through a short-term mission trip. But God's calling on your life. We want you to pray through it. And then the last thing I want you to pray through is your commitment to faith promise. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am grateful for the amount committed in this congregation. And I'm praying for the amount committed in this congregation. But I want you to know, I am praying more for the participation of this congregation. I am praying that God, I have to confess to you, I'm actually praying for 100%. That's what I pray for. I pray for 100%. I'm not going to go check up on you. I'm just telling you, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for 100%. I'll never forget 402 Carter Lane. A, God taught me the tithe. I was making $75 $75 a week, right? $75 a week, 3 part-time jobs. And in college with a baby and a wife and 3 part-time jobs, $75 a week. I said to Cindy, write $7.75. And she said, okay, why $7.75? Write it on Saturday, $7.75. Why $7.75? I said, well, $7.50 tithe. And then put 25 cents for Faith Promise Missions. Now I'm a Christian. What I used to do when my daddy and mama taught me, now I want to do. Now I know you're saying 25 cents a week, that wasn't much. Well, folks, there was a lot of month at the end of the money at 402 Carter Lane. I'm telling you, so you may not think that was a big step for us, but that was a big step for us. And now thankfully God has taken it all kinds of places beyond that. But folks, I just want you to get started. I don't know what it is. Just get started. I want you to have a testimony. I want you to know what it means to get out of the stands with prayer plans and faith promise
and get in the game. Just get in it. Get a starting point in it. And say, Lord, you don't know, but I'll tell you what. Okay, we are going to, my family, we're going to pray together. Our individually, you're going to work on it and pray about it. Lord, what is it you want to give me beyond, by faith? And I promise that when you get it to me, it's going to get through me. And ask God to pray about that in your life. All I'm asking you to do, I'm not telling you you got to do this to be saved. I'm not telling you you got to do this to stay saved. I just want you to be in the game. I want you to know what it's like. I want you to know what it's like that when those missionary letters come back, they're actually investment returns as far as you're concerned. It's amazing what it would mean. So I'm asking you to please pray about that before the Lord. Well, we're doing all this because of the Great Commission. I've just got a few minutes to walk you through that text, and then we're going to close in prayer, and I'm going to give you the date when Jesus comes back, all right? So here it is. You see the text. Go back with me to the text. Here's a good date. When did Jesus give this Great Commission? I actually know approximately when Jesus gave this Great Commission. It was sometime between the 18th day after his resurrection and the 32nd day after his resurrection. Now, Harry, why would you say that? Well, I would say that, and I don't know for sure, but I think I'm right on this. Why would I say this? Well, Jesus rose, and on the first day that he rose, what did he do? He appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, to the women, to Mary Magdalene, and then he appeared to the disciples in the upper room that night for the first worship service on the Lord's Day, and it was Sunday evening. Now, one of the guys wasn't there because he had something else to do. He didn't come to the Sunday night church. That was Thomas. So then, 8 days later, they had another Sunday night worship service. This time somebody told Thomas, you should have come Sunday night. You really missed a blessing. What was it? Jesus was there. And you know, he's been at every Sunday night service ever since then. And so Thomas decided to show up the second one, and he's there. So how many days is that after the resurrection? 8 days. Now, if they left the next day, you're talking about a 6 to 7 day journey. Now, I know you're saying, Harry, Jesus didn't need 6 or 7 days to get up to the Sea of Galilee. No, he didn't, but they did. And they're going to meet him up there 7 days later. So we know it took them 7 days to get up there. Somewhere between 6 to 7 days. So now we're looking at about 15 days. So, now we're looking at, about 15 days. So sometime from the 16th day to the 32nd. Why the 32nd? Because Jesus is not going to go to heaven from the mountain he gave the Great Commission. He's going to go to heaven from where? The Mount of Olives back in Jerusalem. And they're going to go back there and be there. So you got another 6 to 7 day trip. When did he do that? On the 40th day. So they would have had to leave probably about the 32nd day. So sometime between the 16th and the 32nd day, Jesus meets with them at this mountain. Harry, which mountain is it? I do not know. I don't have the slightest idea. I think it was likely the same mountain that he went on for the Sermon on the Mount. That's what I think. The same mountain he was on when he called them to be his disciples, too. And so that's where he went. Who is there? Well, who is there is the disciples, the 11. Remember, Judas is dead and they haven't replaced him yet. So they have the 11 that's there. There may have been others. Because Paul tells us at some time while he was up there in the Galilee, there was one time when 500 that are still alive when he writes 1 Corinthians 15 saw Jesus. So that may have been one of those moments like the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus teaches his disciples and there are thousands of other people listening on. In this case, Jesus is talking to the 11 and there may have been 500 listening on. Let me say one more thing about the who. I know two things about the who. When they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. And the second thing I know is some doubted. Don't you love the honesty of God's word? Now you're maybe sitting there. They what? How dare they doubt? Well, Do you ever doubt? I do. Folks, there have been moments in my life. I'm sitting outside in the dark of a night, looking at the stretch of the skies and thinking about eternity, and realize I only got one life here. I am banking everything. In fact, I gave up every hope and aspiration vocationally because I sensed he called me into the ministry. Just gave all that, everything I had hoped to do, I just gave it up and said, all right, Jesus, here I am. If you're sending me, send me. You ever thought about, well, I wonder if this is true. John says, not if, when you doubt, remember, God is greater than your doubts. Don't you interesting? We just thought it was doubting Thomas. Other disciples doubted. I have doubted. Can I tell you what always assures me? First, God assures me from his word. It's true. And I believe. Secondly, God assures me from my life. You see, I know where I was. And I see where I am. Now, I am not where I want to be, but I am a whole lot further down the road than I was. I know the pit he dug me out of. I knew the rock he hewed me out of. I know the rock he cut me out of, the pit he dug me out of. And I know I didn't do that. He did it. And he who began a good work will finish it. And I thank God that God is greater than my doubts. And the last thing is the witness of the Holy Spirit, whom he sends to be with us to the end of the age. And then he makes this audacious statement. All authority in heaven and you're about to go and you're going to talk to emperors. You're going to talk to Caesars. You're going to talk to kings. You're going to talk to governors. You're going to go and they're going to kill you. Some of you, they're going to threaten you. They're going to do it. I just want you to remember one thing. Everywhere you go, all authority has been given to me and I'm sending you. Now, he's not speaking of his position as the Son of God. He's always had authority. He is speaking of his victorious work as Messiah. He is risen. He is ascended. He is at the throne and he is now accomplishing his kingdom. And you are my ambassadors in my authority to all the world. Go and proclaim the gospel. And then he says, here's what I want you to do. Here's your imperative. Go and make disciples. Okay. As I told you, I was raised in Christian Missionary Alliance. And when I was growing up, I got exposed to a guy. I heard that somebody told me after the first service that he died this last year. His name was the chaplain of Bourbon Street, Bob Harrington. And he had a sermon. I think he had two sermons. That was pretty much it. And he traveled around a lot, so he didn't get caught. He didn't have to come up with a different one very often. And one of them was that go is the most important word. He would read the text I just read to you, and he'd say, go is the most important word in the Bible. You take go out of gospel, you just got spell. You take go out of good, all you got's odd. You take go out of God, you just got a D. Go is the most important word. Well, I then went to seminary and spent a lot of money learning Greek. And then I went back and found out go is not the imperative. It's the participle. The imperative is make disciples. Folks, that's our mission. We got a lot of things we do as a church consequentially. But our mission is to make disciples. Where? Of every nation, all the nations, every single one of them. And Jesus has all authority to send us to make disciples. How do you make disciples? You go, evangelism. You then baptize them in the singular name, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one God with three persons in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when the believer and the household were baptized, they were enfolded into the body of Christ. And then what do you do with those who have been evangelized and enfolded? You teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. In other words, we then equip them with the Word of God. So what do we do to make disciples? We go and evangelize. Remember the last 3 weeks? Coins and sheep don't find themselves. You go to seek and to save the lost. Evangelism. Then when to make disciples, you go after them. To make disciples, you enfold them into the body of Christ. And then you equip them and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you literally all the days. I am with you all the days to the end of the age. I love those alls. All, every authority is given to me. Go to all, every nation. Go to all, every nation. And then what? Teach them to observe all, everything I have commanded you. And then what? I will be with you all the days until then. Why is that important? This is an impossible mission without Him. We can't do it. First of all, everybody we're talking to is spiritually dead. If the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, there's no result. We need the Holy Spirit in us. We need the Holy Spirit upon us. We need the Holy Spirit working through us. And we need the Holy Spirit to go ahead of us to give people eyes to see and ears to hear. We need Him. That's why we sung that song a while ago. Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Fill us and go before us. We need you. And how long do we do this? Some people say, you know, this was just given to the apostles. It wasn't given to the apostles. It started with the apostles. It was to be continued until when? The end of the age. Way beyond the apostles. To the end of the age, which tells you one other thing, and I'm done. You know what the other thing is? The end of the age is the finishing of the task. And when the end of the age comes and the task is finished, He returns. Harry, when is Jesus coming back? That's easy. When the gospel is preached to all the nations and all of His people have been brought to Him from all the nations. And when that happens, praise His name, then He comes. So the takeaway, until He returns, we got a purpose. He returns at the end of the age. And the end of the age isn't come until the purpose is fulfilled. The mission is fulfilled. So until He returns, let's stay on mission together. All of us. Together. On the mission. Folks, it's so exciting. I was just getting ready to think about this. Here's what I'm going to close with. Last week, last year, those of you who prayed for our missionaries and for world missions, those of you who went on short-term mission trips, those of you who helped with our leadership of selecting missionaries and praying for the missionaries and vetting missionaries and holding missionaries accountable, those of you who gave in your faith promise last year, just through our mission staff, not in Birmingham, not in Alabama, not North America, but out there in the world, there were 182,000 presentations of the gospel to lost people. And you were part of it. You were part of it. You pray, you go, you give, and you send. And when they go, you go. You're part of it. You were part of those 182,000 presentations. There were 40,000 responses to come to Jesus recorded in their ministries. You were part of it. Last year, we were engaged in planting 382 churches. Last year, we were able to see 296 churches embrace the biblical paradigm of church revitalization and begin the process. By God's grace, He allowed us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to do that. As together we pray, we go, we give, and we send. Till He returns, end of the age, mission accomplished, on mission, together. I'm looking forward to this week. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the time that we could be together. I'm amazed that You allow someone like me to know Jesus and then to serve Jesus and then to bring Jesus by sending others to tell them about Jesus and be a part of fulfilling what You have commissioned in making disciples of all the nations. So, Father, give us engagement, participation, persistence in prayer until the end of the age when the task is done. And until Jesus returns. Until He returns, allow us together to be on mission, on message, and in the ministry of giving, praying, going, and sending. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a message by Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information on the resources available through Briarwood Presbyterian Church, or for more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Reeder, visit us at briarwood.org or call 205-776-5200.